Our colleague Steve Inskeep has been reporting from Pakistan. He sent us this dispatch on how Pakistanis have been shaped by their history.
Many American history students learn of a concept called the frontier thesis. It's the idea that American experience on the frontier, the early centuries of settlement, shaped the American character. Pakistanis have their own common experiences, from mass migration to war, and we wanted to know how those experiences affect the country. So we posed the question to two Pakistani thinkers, starting with Najam Sethi, a leading newspaper editor who welcomed us into his home in Lahore.
As you know very well, Americans are often baffled by this country. Is there something fundamental about the Pakistani mind, the collective consciousness of this country, that it's hard for outsiders to understand?
Yes and no. I think Pakistanis are amongst the most hospitable people in the world. Every visiting American, every visiting Indian will vouch for that. But at the same time, they are extremely suspicious of visitors. So there is this hospitality which is ingrained part of a great and historical Muslim tradition, the brotherhood, welcoming everybody, even people you don't trust. But at the same time, the nature of the people is very, they don't trust the second man on the street. And especially when it comes to superpowers, they are extremely distrustful and suspicious. And of course we are given to conspiracy theories. You don't forget, this is largely a rural country, even now. Despite urbanization, even the people sitting in the urban areas, they retain their links with their rural constituencies.
They may go back to their home villages.
And many people, everyone in this household has a rural constituency, for example, which tells you how important the rural background is to even people sitting in the urban areas. So modernity, in a sense, is stretched on a historical rack. There's the village, and the lack of communication, the lack of modernity, the lack of information on the one side. And on the other hand, the hurly-burly of everyday life, which imposes disciplines on you and creates uncertainties, and the attempt to get up the ladder and so on and so forth. So there are constant strains on this population. We are part tribal, part modern. We are part Pakistani, part Muslim. There are so many identities in this country.
You said people are welcoming of outsiders, but also suspicious of outsiders. What does that mean?
Well, that means that, you know, when you go to somebody's house, they'll lay out the red carpet for you, but you will never be able to discern what is actually in their minds. So you will be feet wined and dined and feted, and wining is a metaphor in this case. but you will not know what exactly they are thinking.
That's Najam Sethi, editor of the Friday Times in Lahore. We gained more insight in Islamabad, where we met Musharraf Zaidi. He's a Pakistani writer and development consultant, and he too has been thinking of the way his country is becoming more suspicious.
Is this a more paranoid time than other times in Pakistan?
I'd turn that around a little bit, Steve. I'd say it's a more insecure time. People don't feel secure. People don't feel secure domestically in terms of getting up and going to the market to buy a loaf of bread. People are worried that there'll be an explosion on their way or where they're headed. So there is the fear of terrorism. There's the fear of, you know, the inability of the Pakistani state to protect within the country. There's also an international fear. There's a fear that, hey, why is everybody ganging up on Pakistan all of a sudden? Do they really not like the fact that we have nuclear weapons? Do they want to take our nuclear weapons away? And why is India in America's good books? Why do they seem like they're, you know, they're really close? And, you know, is this a bad time for Pakistan? Is India going to gang up with the U.S. to do something to Pakistan? And why are the Afghans on the Indian side as well? Why are we being surrounded by hostility? So I think there's a domestic problem in terms of security, and there's an international problem in terms of insecurity. And when you have all this insecurity, and you compound that insecurity with incompetence, with the inability of the Pakistani state, the government and the military, to do their job, to protect the lives and the property of the Pakistani people. When you combine those two things, all you get is a cloud of amorphous nothingness. You don't get any answers. And when you don't get answers, Steve, you make up answers. And so the paranoia and the conspiracy theories that a lot of Americans have been talking about is really, it's got less to do with America and more to do with the situation here. It's a constant state of not knowing. We don't know who killed Benazir Bhutto. We don't know how the Abbottabad raid took place. We don't know how bin Laden came to live here. We don't know how our leaders keep getting shot and assassinated. You know, there's a lot of questions that just never get answered. And it's not the job of Hillary Clinton or President Obama to answer those questions. These are Pakistani questions that the Pakistani people are asking. The only people that can answer these questions are the Pakistani government. And they don't have any answers.
To the extent that you can fairly generalize about the national character or the collective consciousness of this country, is there something about the character or the mind, the collective mind of Pakistanis that Americans just don't understand?
Yes, it's called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. This is a country that has gone through thousands of suicide attacks. The only comparable place in the world is Iraq, and that only took place for 3.5-4 years. It's been nonstop for 4 years without an actual war. In Iraq, you had one of the clarifying things for the Iraqi people was they were invaded. There was a full-scale war going on. There hasn't been that declaration of war. There aren't planes above the sky. There's drones in parts of the country.
There are troops deployed in
exactly,
parts of the country,
but
parts
but,
of the country.
But
yeah.
In the part of the country that you're in, Steve, where we're sitting right now.
In Islamabad.
When you walk around, do you feel like you're in a war zone? No.
And upscale yet, neighborhood. Yeah.
Exactly. And yet, you know, there's police checkposts everywhere. And there's a constant feed of suicide attacks coming in on people's Twitter, on their Facebook accounts, on television. All you get is blood and gore. This is a country that is going through post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't think that's an unfair generalization at all.
Musharraf Zaidi is a writer in Islamabad. We also heard from Najim Sethi of the Friday Times in Lahore. We spent about 2 weeks now in Pakistan, hearing from generals, diplomats, paramilitary troops, critics of Pakistan's military, critics of the United States, students thinking about their future, and also people thinking of the recent past, of families and colleagues who've been killed. It's a nightmare moment in Pakistan, although it is worth remembering a recent book about this country. Anatole Levin called his work Pakistan, a Hard Country. The title suggested the way Pakistan is hard to understand, but also that its people are tough. They get up in the morning and go on.
Steve's reports from Pakistan were produced by Asma Khalid and Jim Wildman. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.